We want to invite you to join us for a free Sober Memorial Day party on Monday, May 27th, starting at 6 o'clock. This sober event is going to be held at the Lighthouse, 3000 East State Boulevard in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Come join us for free food, live music, horseback riding, lawn games, and all kinds of fun in a sober environment. The Lighthouse is excited to invite you to a biblical fundraising summit where we're going to talk about the foundations of biblical fundraising, building relationships, funding your own agency, and an overview of biblical fundraising. This is going to be on Thursday, June 13th, starting at 6 o'clock. We're partnering with our friends over at Trellis to host this event. If you are a church, a business, or a nonprofit that is in the fundraising field, we want you to join us to learn and to be able to connect with other people in this field. June 13th, Thursday at 6 o'clock.
This is Reflections of the Lighthouse, a podcast sharing the hope of the gospel for those struggling with life-altering addictions. If you'd like more information about the Lighthouse and the services they provide, visit biblicallifecoverycenter.com. And now, here are your hosts, Brandon Bauer and Dwayne Modlin.
Welcome to Reflections of the Lighthouse. I'm here with Pastor Dwayne, and did you realize this is our 28th episode?
Wow.
It's been a lot of fun. Today we're going to talk about standing firm against Satan. There's a passage in James chapter 4, verse 7, that talks about resisting the devil.
Yes, submitting to God and resisting the devil, and he will flee from you.
So this is a command in Scripture to resist the devil. So I think yes. It's worth talking about.
Absolutely.
So one of our friends, his name is Randy Murphy, he said this: Satan's strategy is quite simple and has not changed a bit over time. Doubt God and depend on yourself. Let's talk about that. What does it look like to fall into Satan's trap of doubting God and depending on ourselves?
Well, we see this is the first real temptation that the enemy has for humanity when he comes into the garden. And this is his tactic with Adam and Eve. He convinces them that they can do life without God. And we know how that's worked out for humanity, right?
Yep.
We've got all types of issues because we try to do life without God. This is that sin nature trying to go our own way apart from God. We try to be our own God. Satan wanted to elevate himself above God. And then here comes God, who creates humanity and then tells all the angelic beings, your job is to help and serve humanity. And Satan's like, I don't even want to serve you, God. Mm. So what he knows, he can't attack God head on. So what does he do? He attacks the thing God loves, and which was humanity, and gets humanity to turn from God.
So a lot of people picture the Bugs Bunny version of Satan, you know, with the red horns and the little pitchfork and the tail. Now, we know that Satan is a real being.
Yes.
And we know a lot of Satan in Scripture. So his fall started with pride and rebellion.
Yes.
And it was a turning against God.
He wanted to be God.
And I think when we see how he influences us, we see the same sin in our hearts. Pride yes. and rebellion leads to turning from God, wanting to be God, mm-hmm. be our God, little God,
yep.
In replace of big G God.
Yep.
Then we see that Satan was cast out of heaven.
Yep.
Scripture also talks about a little about Satan's character. He is described as the adversary.
Yes. Name Satan doesn't come into play in the Old Testament. It's more of a title. It's not until what we call the Second Temple period where this being actually gets given the name Satan. And it means adversary, one who is against not for. And he's the great adversary, is he not? The adversary. Not just, I think sometimes we think about he's the adversary of God, but not just of God, he's the adversary of humanity. The thing that God created in his image and his likeness and has poured his grace and love upon in some pretty remarkable ways.
And seeking to turn mankind against God as well.
Yes. And that's the adversarial role he's taken against God and humanity.
Yep. He's also seen as a deceiver in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with us as well. Sin is a deception.
Yes.
God doesn't have my best interest in mind, so that I'm going to go find it, whether it's in lust, in addiction, in gluttony, in any number of sin.
Really idolatry, yep. Right?
Absolutely.
He gets us to worship something other than God. Not only is he the deceiver, but he's also the accuser of the brethren. Mm-hmm. He loves to, especially for Christians, when we blow it, when we sin, when we mess up, to begin to whisper in our ear that, oh, God can't love you. Mm-hmm. Look what you've done. There's no way God is for you. And we know all of those things are a lie because Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
And Satan is called the father of lies. So,
yes.
So it makes sense that he's going to lie.
Yes.
To us and against us.
Absolutely.
He's also called the ruler of this world.
Yes.
So when we think about our command to be in the world and not of it, I think it has a lot to do with this as well. The being of the world is being of Satan.
Yeah. So when this New Testament authors are dealing with this concept of the world, what they're really talking about is the pattern of the world, how the world does things. This is why you'll see, like in Romans 12:2, where Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. And the idea there is being squeezed into a mold. That don't be squeezed into the mold of the world. Don't look like the world, because the God of this world is Satan. Mm-hmm. He's the God of the world system, the way the world does things. But be renewed in your mind, transformed by the renewal of your mind. We begin to, as Christians, no longer be deceived by the enemy and the world system that he has developed, but we begin to follow Christ. And this is the same deception that he tried with Christ, is it not? He says, hey, if you'll bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus was already sovereign over all of the kingdoms, even Satan himself.
Wasn't his.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That sounds an awful lot like sin, claiming something that's not ours.
Yes.
In Ephesians 6:12, we see this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We see that Satan's goal is to kill, rob, and destroy.
Yes. This is what Jesus says his goal is. He came to kill, steal, and to destroy.
And his goal is to create disbelief of God and of his character.
Yes. And one thing I think we have to remember, and I think we'll get into this in a little bit deeper in a few moments, but that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, actually defeated the powers, those rulers, those wickedness in high places. These are categories, spiritual beings that have rebelled against God. And Jesus, in Ephesians, the Bible tells us that he led captive captivity. Mm-hmm. That in his death and resurrection and ascension, he defeated the power of the enemy.
If his goal is to induce disbelief in God and his character, we can see that actively in play in our world.
Mm-hmm.
We see people who are anti-God.
Yes.
Who are anti his word, who are anti-morality, who are anti-anything that has to do with faith, God, connection.
Yes.
And we're seeing it on our college campuses. We're seeing it in...
Again, that's the world system.
Yep. We're seeing it in our nonprofit realms. We're seeing... Yep. God is being attacked by massive, massive political, social influences that have been directly influenced by Satan.
Yes.
I think now more than ever, we need to hold truth to the fact that God loves us. Mm-hmm. And he has a plan for us. And even though we're being attacked, that our belief in God and the promises of God still hold true today.
And for the Christian, Christ won us a victory.
Yes.
We are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. And I think it's something that needs to remain in the forefront of our minds and the minds of our listeners, that God has won.
Yeah.
And we may face some nasty stuff in our realms, in this world, but ultimately we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. I like to explain it this way. The Civil War, it was over. The war had been won by the North. Praise the Lord. Had been won. But even after the war was won, there were still skirmishes going on in the war, battles that were happening. Listen, the war has been won. Christ won the war through his death and resurrection. He has won the war. But yet we still face some of those skirmishes that are taking place.
Some Christians take the stance of, well, God's won, so I just need to back out of all of this fight.
Absolutely not. God uses means to accomplish his purposes. And the main means he uses is his church to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people don't know that the war has been won. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to go to the front line and proclaim to people that the war is won, that Jesus has won the victory for them.
Yes, amen.
I remember a story I heard, whether it's true or not, I don't really know, but a missionary was overseas and he was visiting the garbage dump. And there was this lady that lived there that the pastor wanted him to meet. And he goes in and he meets the lady and he prays with the lady. And then he sees something on the wall. This lady had worked for this rich man. And then the rich man died and she ended up in poverty. Well, on the wall was the man's will. Mm. And he had left her everything. She was wealthy, but living in poverty. And I think this is what we're supposed to do, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people living in poverty, spiritual poverty, when Jesus has won a victory and he offers them riches himself.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I was listening to a podcast this week by Albert Mohler. It was, if you don't listen to Albert Mohler, it's a great podcast.
You should.
Yep. The Briefing. And he was talking specifically about how Christians are called to politics. They're called to nonprofit work. And many people shun those things, but we need believers in those roles, fighting those fights so that our freedoms stay free, so that we can continue to proclaim the name of Jesus in places like the Lighthouse.
Absolutely. We need godly politicians who are making wise decisions. Mm-hmm. when it comes to policies. We need businessmen who are making wise decisions in business and ethics.
Even teachers.
Yeah, teachers. I mean, across the board, every profession, doctors, across the board. We don't just need preachers. I can't believe I just said that, Brandon, being a preacher. No, we don't just need preachers. We need believers going into every sphere of life and actually obeying Jesus's command to make disciples of all nations.
So a shameless plug here. We could use believers of all kinds. Amen. Lighthouse, doing volunteer work, building into the lives of those around us. I was really excited to hear this week that two people accepted Jesus as their savior through the outreach of our food bank.
Yes.
And I think that adds up to about 14 in the last few months. God is really working here, and I'm calling you to be a part of where God's working.
Yeah, overcoming and being the means that God is using to disarm the enemy in people's lives.
It's fantastic. And we've done the hard work. You just have to come in and be part of
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Okay, back to Satan. We're talking about Satan as a whole from Scripture.
Yeah.
We see that there's some tactics that Satan uses.
Yes.
He's a schemer.
Yes.
He's a deceiver. He makes sin attractive, and he loves to enslave those into bondage.
Such as addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Or any sin. You know, I was watching, I love reality TV. I was watching this judge show where they were talking to this lady who was, I don't know, 400 or 500 pounds. And she was talking about how she doesn't eat very much. And then she went on to describe what she was eating. And it was this massive amount of food.
Yeah.
And we're not making fun of this lady, but there is a sense of this person is enslaved to food and they don't even realize it.
And they're deceived to it. Yeah.
Or we work every day with people who have addiction struggles, or in our counseling department, we work with people that have life altering issues.
Yep.
And these are all tactics of Satan to deceive someone, to make sin seem better than a relationship with God.
Absolutely, but it's not. And I want to remind people, Satan's power is limited. Mm. He is a created being, and therefore he's not omniscient, nor is he infinite. He is limited in power. And I want to encourage believers specifically. He cannot do anything without God's permission.
Yep, we see that in the life of Job.
Job, not only Job, but in the New Testament, we see it in the life of Peter. Mm-hmm. When Jesus bursts Peter's bubble a little bit because Peter thinks he's something, Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, Satan's asked for you." Number one, I'd be like, "How does he know my name?"
Yeah.
And Jesus basically says, "I've given him permission to sift you like wheat." And it was for Peter's benefit.
Yeah.
But the enemy, his power is limited. God's power is limitless.
We see this in places like in counseling, where we're talking to someone that's addicted to pornography or addicted to sexual sins, where they think that they need this in their life to be satisfied.
Yes.
And it's really a shift from being satisfied fully with Christ to trying to satisfy ourselves through empty vehicles.
Yep.
It's so hard sometimes to have someone understand that they are walking away from the God of the universe who loves them so much to play with dirt.
Yes.
And I think it's seen very vividly here at the Lighthouse because of the work we do.
Yeah.
But it is that way throughout Christendom.
Yes.
With those who are enslaved to sin, that God calls us to something so much greater, and we are just playing around with emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of leaves us with a choice, a clear choice, right? Some promises of God. He will never leave us or forsake us.
Praise Him.
So why are we fearful? Why are we bound with fear and anxiety when God calls us and will never leave us?
Or Amen.
God is a present help in our time of trouble.
Isn't that beautiful?
Why do we struggle with what's coming our way when God is the author of all of this?
Yeah, and the unknown.
It's a choice, though. It's a choice to trust our Savior.
It really is.
Or he promises to be present in adversity. You know, that is a promise that our guys here in the addiction part of our program can really cling to. In your deepest, darkest trouble, God promises to be present.
And for some, and we want to be sensitive too, because there's some people, your trouble has been huge.
Yeah.
And it's been traumatic. It's been hard. And it looks huge. And it looks impossible to you. But I will make this promise to you, because I believe it's God's word, that if you will turn from that thing and begin to walk towards Christ, that thing, that traumatic event, whatever has happened, will get smaller and smaller the more you move away from it. And Christ will get bigger and bigger the more you move towards him in your life.
Absolutely. And I think we're both speaking from experience there.
Yes.
What we're not saying is turn to God and you'll be wealthy and drive a Corvette and have.
Absolutely not.
It's not this health and wealth thing.
No.
God promises to be present in adversity.
Absolutely.
Not to take
keep
away
you from adversity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And let's look at the apostles. If we want to be real, did they have easy lives?
No.
No. All of them died a martyr's death but one. The Apostle John, who still, he didn't have it easy. Mm-hmm. He suffered persecution and different things. And we see Christ with these apostles, these men who had chosen to follow Christ. We see God being with them in adversity in some amazing ways.
Yep. Finally, we're running out of time. God promises his spirit to dwell within us. That's amazing.
And that power that the Holy Spirit brings in our lives is what helps us overcome the adversity, overcome the troubles.
Absolutely, absolutely. So wrapping things up, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when we're talking about standing firm against Satan, it is really only the power of Christ that's in us that has any power to stand firm against Satan.
And resisting Satan is really submitting to God.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you for this discussion. I think it's really helpful in the light of counseling and sin and all of the things that we deal with, to be able to understand Satan is a force, but a limited force, and Christ is the power behind that.
Yeah, Christ has defeated Satan.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Reflections of the Lighthouse. Would you please share this podcast with your friends on social media so we can get a broader reach and more support for our work here at the Lighthouse? Thank you so much.
God bless.